Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
White privilege is just an acknowledgement that our world is uneven. We live in a country that's unequal.
All human beings share solidarity. All of us are made in God's image equally and therefore worthy of dignity. We're all ruined and rebellious against God and therefore calls us solidarity and sin. And we all need the same Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
How's about we think on these things? This is Wretched Radio. Don't know exactly what your kitchen conference center looks like and the contents of the conversations therein, but I've got a pretty good inkling. No, I'm not a prophet. Who can predict the future? That office? No, we don't get to do that anymore. But I speculate that your home might, in some degrees, be like our home, where we can get caught up in conversations about contemporary issues. The stuff that is making your head go kaboom. Not the least of which these days would be the issue of VAC asterisk INES. Why do I spell that? Because, hey, we could be canceled from a platform if we even talk about this subject. That'll make your head explode right there. And yet, you and I have been placed here sovereignly by God at this time. Perhaps your kitchen is consumed with nothing but all of the threatening things that we perceive, real or otherwise, to varying degrees. It doesn't take a rocket surgeon to figure out the times have changed. This is a different country, and we now have to figure out how to live here. What is my mindset so that I don't go absolutely bonkers? How do I think so that I don't think everybody that I see on the street is a communist or worse? Jimmy, is there anything worse than being a communist? Well, you get the point anyway. You might be struggling with this, that you're kind of gurgling up on the inside. And it's spilling over, and your conversations cannot contain themselves to spiritual things. They are being preoccupied by temporal things. And please make no mistake about it. These issues are big deals. I get that. There are so many Christians right now who are suddenly wrestling with the VAC asterisk INES issue because they might be MAND asterisk TED. What am I going to do? I'm trying to prepare some thoughts on that subject to potentially share next week to walk through that situation biblically because let's be honest, this one's pressing. And might I just add this? If you're feeling that pressure, perhaps from an employer or from a government, does this perhaps give us a little bit of a perspective, understanding, and potentially some empathy for first century Jews who were looking for the wrong Messiah? They were squeezed way more than we currently are. The Romans were atrocious, and they were underneath their boot or sandal or whatever it was that they wore on their feet. They felt the pressure of a government that was opposed to them, that was trying to rob them of their money, of their freedoms, of any sort of rights, if they even used those terms back then. They felt that. And so what did it cause them to do? Call out for it. We need somebody to rescue us from this malaise. We need a Messiah who can deliver us from an oppressive government. Can we now perhaps understand how they fell into that ditch, at least to a degree? So how do we stay out of that ditch? How do we alter our conversations? I would like to make two suggestions. Number one, if you are feeling the weight of the world currently bearing down on you and you're getting sour in any degree, or you're just tired of the same conversations, you're just tired of them, maybe it's time to start focusing on something else more. Now, please note, I didn't say without any consideration for our current issues. I just said I think there's something we could be focusing on more. And I wonder if you could use this breath of fresh air delivered from Pastor Alistair Begg. Looks like he was speaking at a conference someplace. And I heard this, and it was one of those presentations of the gospel that was not only fresh, but it was refreshing. Oh, thank you. I needed to be reminded of that, the goodness of God's grace shown through His Son. This is one of those examples of a sermon and a preacher who didn't just say, isn't the gospel gospelicious? He actually showed it. Maybe you need this too.
Without the preaching of the cross, without preaching the cross to ourselves all day and every day, we will very, very quickly revert to faith plus works as the ground of our salvation. So that to go to the old Fort Lauderdale question, if you were to die tonight and you were getting entry into heaven, what would you say? If you answer that, and if I answer it in the first person, we've immediately gone wrong. because I believed, because I have faith, because I am this, because I am continuing. Loved ones, the only proper answer is in the third person, because he. Then think about the thief on the cross. And what an immense, I can't wait to find that fellow one day to ask him, how did that shake out for you? Because you were cussing the guy out with your friend. You'd never been in a Bible study. You never got baptized. You didn't know a thing about church membership. And yet you made it. You made it. How did you make it? That's what the angel must have said. You know, like, what are you doing here? Well, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Well, because I don't know. Well, you know, excuse me, let me get my supervisor. Then go get the supervisor in. So, we're just a few questions for you. First of all, Are you clear on the doctrine of justification by faith? The guy said, I never heard of it in my life. And what about, let's just go to the doctrine of Scripture immediately. This guy's just staring. And eventually in frustration, he says, on what basis are you here? And he said, the man on the middle cross said, I can come. Now, that is the only answer. That is the only answer. And if I don't preach the gospel to myself all day and every day, then I will find myself beginning to trust myself, trust my experience, which is part of my fallenness as a man. If I take my eyes off the cross, I can then give only lip service to its efficacy, while at the same time living as if my salvation depends upon me. And as soon as you go there, it will lead you either to abject despair or a horrible kind of arrogance. And it is only the cross of Christ that deals both with the dreadful depths of despair and the pretentious arrogance of the pride of man that says, you know, I can figure this out and I'm doing wonderfully well. No, because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free for God the just is satisfied to look on Him and pardon me. That's why Luther said most of your Christian life is outside of you. In this sense, that we know that we're not saved by good works. We're not saved as a result of our professions, but we're saved as a result of what Christ has achieved.
Because He said, you can come, criminal. You can walk because of what He did. Maybe, just maybe, you and I are being challenged to refocus our daily considerations, to move away from being consumed by the carking cares of this world, to contemplating the cross, because the man on the middle one said, "You can come." And perhaps that will make us a bit naive. Yeah. I think there's worse consequences, frankly. Shouldn't we be pondering this all day, every day? Is it possible that one of the things that God is doing in this current pressing is to redirect our thoughts, maybe just maybe, in all of this, as we see the sinful behavior of so many people, the wicked attitudes, that we realize our own, and that we need to daily repent to our Lord for not focusing on Him more than we focus on VAC asterisks, INESs. But there's a second way that your conversations can change. Are you sure you're ready to hear it? Next on Wretched Radio.
Thanks for being here today on Wretched Radio. And listen, have you checked out the Wretched website yet? If not, you're really missing out on some amazing and valuable content at wretched.org. You'll find full and complete Wretched TV and radio episodes. Also, the Wretched store with nearly 50 helpful resources like Drive-By Biblical Counseling 3, Jesus Unmasked, 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide, and more. And you're also going to find one of my favorite features, the Wretched Library. It's full of teaching on a ton of topics ranging from abortion to pneumatology, to evangelism, and marriage. And you can also visit the donate page. That's where you'll find all the information you'll ever need on becoming a gospel partner. Without your support, we wouldn't be able to do what we're privileged to do here every day at Wretched. So if you're not already a gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one? We can't do any of this without you. Check all these features out right now at wretched.org. That's wretched.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Be careful. Be very, very careful, my cold-hearted conservative friend, because this just might melt your heart if you are a supporter of preborn.org/wretched, providing ultrasounds, ultrasound machines, and sonograms. Careful, this might just melt your heart.
That sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to Mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
You're giving love when you support Preborn, because a mommy sees a baby in the womb courtesy of an ultrasound machine and 80% of the time keeps the baby. $28 an ultrasound, or perhaps you might be of the means to provide an actual ultrasound machine if you can. Oh, they need them, and they'll put them to work, and it'll show some love. Preborn.org/wretched.
Did you realize that everything seems to have its own day to celebrate it? August, in particular, has National Creamsicle Day, National Relaxation Day. And let's not forget about the month-long celebrations for National Catfish Month, National Goat Cheese Month, and the one I just deemed most important above all, International Gospel Partners Month. That's right. Celebrate with us. Because while I'm obviously joking about International Gospel Partners Month, I am not joking about our reliance on you. Wretched reliance on the kindness and generosity of our gospel partners to reach millions all over the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And thanks to you, Wretched Radio is among the top 5% of all podcasts across all platforms. Without you, that's not possible. So would you please prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner today? And what better time to do it than right now during International Gospel Partners Month? Just visit wretched.org/donate or text the word wretched to the number 4432.
Important dates in Christian history. 70 AD. Titus destroys Jerusalem and the temple. The separation between Christianity and Judaism deepens, and Christians spread throughout the Roman Empire, spreading the gospel as they go. God uses tragedy to forward His great commission.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Could this be the reason you don't have that joy, 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 joy down in your heart? This is Wretched Radio. Are you feeling it? Are you reading your feed and feeling the pressure that a world is changing, that foundations are crumbling, and that people who are in power are beginning to coerce and, dare I say, oppress both corporately and governmentally? Feeling it? How are you responding to it? If a lot of burbling comes out, that your conversations tend to get consumed by them, please note, those conversations are important. We've got to figure things out. We've got to ponder biblically, how do we respond and live in our world? But if this squeezing is not producing any joy that comes out, any ethereal thinking, maybe, just maybe, God is using these things to turn our eyes upon Jesus and look long in his wonderful face. Maybe that's what he's trying to do in this. Because if you're getting squeezed and nothing but battery acid is coming out, that's because that's all that's in your battery. And he wants joy to come out, even in persecution. You say, got a Bible verse for that? I say, yeah, James 1, count it all joy, brethren, when you are persecuted. What? Count it all joy. How do I do that? One, focus more on Christ than on COVID. Yep, I said it. Focus more on Jesus than governmental creep. And certainly focus on the Savior more than self. Because it's the most delightful ponderance we can have. I'm not suggesting we get away from thinking through and talking about. Of course we do that. I'm talking about being consumed. Number two, how is it that my life can change in such a way that my heart changes so that even as I see what used to be pretty cool as pretty crummy now, I'm not so bleak, and I'm not so downtrodden, and I'm not fearful and worried about the future. Here it comes. Are you sure you're ready to hear it? Reorient your life. Reorient your life. This has nothing to do with the Far East. This has everything to do with your local church. If you are struggling in this day and age, if you are also one of those, and I know there are many, who struggle with assurance, struggle with the idea that they're forgiven even as they go about the business of sinning and warring against it, if your heart is troubled in any of those regards, I would like to plead with you to join a local church, the best one you can find, and reorient your life to it. It's amazing how we have relegated church to this sort of ancillary task that we do on the weekends. It used to be, for a number of reasons, fair enough, there wasn't a whole lot of stuff to do. And so, living in a time when you had a church, you went to the church because that's all you had to do. Fair enough. But there was also an understanding of that's the best place for us to be. That's where I should be. That's where I thrive. And if you're not a member and serving in a local church, I think that you're going to continue to struggle. What is your structure for putting your day together? How do you think it through? Most likely, as you go about the business of trying to put a framework around, okay, what guides me through my day and through my life? I wonder, you and I think much about the local church, but what if the local church was in the center of that framework? And that as I think about, okay, what am I supposed to be doing? How much free time am I supposed to have? How am I supposed to use my free time? The answer would be the local church. The local church. The local church. And you start reorienting your life toward that. Maybe, just maybe, now's the time for us to do that. To not just see church as the thing that we do on Sunday when we see some nice folks. Maybe on occasion go out to breakfast with them if you can get a seat after church in a breakfast place. But to be there more. And to serve there more regularly. And to be a part of it. And to be held accountable to. And to be served. And to serve others. And when I think about what is it that I could be doing this weekend for entertainment and amusement, our minds tend to drift to Netflix. Do people still go to movies? I don't know. Do people go to movies? I think that maybe it's a movie. It's a hobby. Please note, I'm not saying eliminate all of those things, but how's about that event that's going on Saturday night at your church? How's about going to those things? Have you not been putting the church to which you're a member in the bullseye of your daily activities? I would suggest to you, if you do that increasingly, your heart's going to change. I'm telling you, it's going to change. The best way to apply the means of growth is through the context of your local church. Yep, you do it in your home. Yep, if you work in a ministry, do it there. Best place, local church. Where you're sitting under authority, where you know your place. You're not ruling the world. You are under authority. And you are learning about Jesus in that context. Hallway conversation surrounded by believers, not bad news. Listening to the chatter of Christians, not Fox News talk show hosts. If your heart is weary, and if you're struggling with assurance, in other words, you are troubled in any way, shape, or form, take the advice of Jesus in John 14:1. No, not advice. He commanded you. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in me. In other words, focus on me. And the best way to do that is the context of your local church. Why? Because that's what your local church should be doing. I know you might be struggling to find such a place. Got it. Totally understood. But God's not unaware. And while you certainly have the opportunity to start a church, and there are ways to go about doing that if you don't have a sound local church near you. But God knows that you don't. Find one that's at least orthodox. You're going to probably have some doctrinal distinctives that you're not nuts about. Totally get it. I thoroughly understand. Another option, of course, is moving. And you say, that's just ridiculous. I'm supposed to put my house up for sale so I could move to a local church? Maybe. Ordered it? Of course not. Who could do such a thing? But the central nature of the local church, if that is not in the bullseye for you, you got to do what it takes to get it there. So find the best local church you can. Don't go in it to be a revolutionary. Sure, you can share your thoughts, but don't cause trouble for a pastor and the elders. You might even want to meet with them to say, here's my situation. I know a lot of good Baptists who go to a Presbyterian church and vice versa. Why? Because it's the best church you can. So, my fellow believers, baptism brother, sister, don't go to the Presbyterian church to help them understand that paedo-baptism isn't biblical. Don't do that. That's not what you want to be about. You're just going to have to live with it and participate in the services of the church, not the ordinances, of course, in that instance. And vice versa. If you're a Presbyterian, don't go to a Baptist church trying to persuade them to start sprinkling their babies. Don't do it. Don't be a rabble-rouser. Find the best one. Join it. This might be a good example for you. Let's just say there's a possibility that you have not been baptized yet. Here's what's going to happen to you if you go to a good local church. They're going to say, have you been baptized? And you're going to say, no, haven't gotten to it yet. And they're going to say, you're going to. In fact, they might even say, to be a member of this church, you gotta. Because that's the first commandment of our Savior upon salvation. Get baptized. You don't get baptized to get saved, but you get baptized because you are saved. That is the first command of our King. You need to submit to that and get baptized as a part of being a member of this church. Well, look at what just happened to you. You were just brought into compliance with what Jesus wants from you, to get baptized as a public testimony that you are His and He is yours. And I could go on and on and on with the fruits and the benefits of being a member, a serving member of a local church. Please, would you wrestle with this? And let us all take a look at our participatory level in our local church and maybe see a correlation between our consternation and our church attendance and make some adjustments, so that we can have joy, 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 joy down in our hearts. This is Wretched Radio.
Books of the Bible. Leviticus is the guidebook for the priests and Levites as they attend to their duties in the temple. In Leviticus, we learn that God is holy, sin is serious, and that God requires a sacrifice for atonement. Thankfully, we have complete atonement in the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If Paul Washer is right, and frankly he always is, then prepare to be wrong. This is Wretched Radio. Fresh video posted by Heart Cry Ministries. Paul Washer sitting on a panel responding to the questions asked by the audience when this Lulu was raised.
What do you think the greatest threat is to the church in our generation?
How would you answer that question? Five men sat silent on the panel for about 3 seconds when Paul Washer, rather laconically, rather just sitting with his legs crossed, like he's waiting to just have a lemonade on the front porch, very casually responded to it. Before we share Paul Washer's biggest threat concern for the church in our day and age, what would you say? There's a long list of threats, isn't there? Critical race theory. There's a threat. And by the way, if I could just do one quick aside on that, I heard from a lot of people who actually go to David Platt's church when we were discussing this issue. We did it a couple of times within the last week. And I simply mentioned that I fear what's happening in their church as it appears to be getting torn asunder. It's because of the introduction of CRT in some way, shape, or form. This is the effect that it has. It's going to look different in a lot of different churches. It could even manifest itself in a different issue. But CRT is the battery acid that is just wrecking so many churches. And a lot of people from the church said, hey, you don't know what's going on here. And that's probably more right than wrong. I'm aware of what the divisive issue is right now. I am aware of that. But I don't know all of the details, which is why I didn't dive deep into the issue of a local church, because that's just none of my beeswax. I simply wanted to share a nationally distributed story of a perspective of what I believe CRT will do to your church. I wasn't weighing in on the issue. And when I called David Platt a brother, which I stand by, I wasn't saying that he's right and the people who are not happy with him right now are wrong. I wasn't commenting on any of that. I was simply trying to make the point, CRT, it's a threat to your church. What else is a threat to the local church? How's about the pandemic? All of the issues, to mask, not to meet, now vaccine, it's mandated, do you have to, what should we do? And I'm telling you, these issues are tugging the church apart because people have different views on these things. There's so many ingredients in the pot. You have so many people that put a focus on this versus that, and you are going to come up with an awful lot of acrimony because of these issues, which is precisely what they are designed to do cause acrimony and division and separation. For what purposes? I don't know. You can watch Fox News for that. I don't have any speculations. I have some ideas, but they're just that. These issues divide. What do you believe is the biggest threat to the church today? Liberalism! It's liberal. It's a drift. I wouldn't argue with you that there isn't a liberal drift. There's always a liberal drift. That's just the nature of us. We drift leftward unless we are pulling hard to the right. You pull hard to the right, you'll at least stay straight, pretty much. You don't, you're going to go crooked to the left really fast. And perhaps you think that liberalism is the biggest threat to the church. Maybe you think it's these wonky movements that are taking place. These are the people who are doing the wonky, wacky, fall down tire, fire tunnels, all of that. Is that a threat to the church? Yeah. Is that the biggest threat to the church? Friel, push the button and tell us what Washer said. Okay, you don't have to yell at me.
It's pastors.
There you go. The biggest threat to the church in our day and age, it's pastors. Yeah, the audience had the same response I did.
Honestly, the pastors. Anywhere, God has given three offices, I believe, to the church.
Interesting.
Evangelist, pastor, and teacher.
Hold the phone, Henrietta. May I ask you a question? Do you agree with that? Pastor, teacher, you might say deacon, elder. There's definitely a difference, and there's implications of each one of those terms. But would you have said office of evangelist? Most of us, I think, would agree that there should be people with the gifting of evangelism, probably in most, if not every, church. An office? Let's just say you disagree with Paul on that, that it's not an office, it's just a spiritual gift for the edification of the church. Regardless, might I take this opportunity to ask you, does your church focus on evangelism? Now, let's just say the debate is at this level. It's an office, that the gift of evangelism, that somebody's an evangelist, and there's an office for it in your church. Now, you maybe disagree with it, but doesn't it indicate that, wow, evangelism inside of the church is a big deal? Is it in your church? By comparison, how much focus is there on winning the lost outside of your church doors versus, brace yourself, the nursery? The children's programs. Come on, we got to take care of the kids. I didn't say we don't have to take care of the kids. I'm simply asking, how much emphasis do we place on evangelism by comparison? It's a thought worth pondering back to Paul Washer.
Wherever you see a weak church, you see these weak men. Either they're non-existent, they're unbiblical, or they're unconverted.
Well, well, well. The pastors that are in the bullseye of Paul Washer's concern, they're non-existent. I presume that means they just don't have a pastor. Or they just aren't even remotely qualified because they're unbiblical or unconverted. I don't think Paul is wrong. I know that you could argue forcefully that the bar doesn't need to be set that high for the office of pastor and church. As long as the guy loves Jesus, that's enough. No, it's not. Never has been. It's never a creedal statement. Hey, do you at least acknowledge Jesus as Lord? Okay, good. Never mind anything else. Never mind the fruit of your life that doesn't indicate repentance. Never mind the fact that you don't believe in the Trinity rightly, or the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, or the role of Scripture in the believer's life. And that's all, just, do you like Jesus? Okay, good. You can be pastor. That's ridiculous. Never been that way, and yet that's exactly what we have today. I can't tell you how many websites I go to when I look for pastors and their qualifications. You never get them. They don't list them because they don't have them. We allow pulpits to be filled. There's nothing any of us can really do about this now, but there are pulpits that are filled with men who just decide, I'm going to start up a church. Let's give it a go, and I'm going to be the man. And it's dominated the evangelical landscape, and we have pulpits filled with unbiblical men who put on such a show, such a performance, so much thought put into what's cool and contemporary. And isn't it funny? It's pretty much always the 80s, which kind of tells you the age of these guys. The biggest problem in the church, according to Paul Washer, unconverted, unbiblical pastors.
And all this talk about the judgment on our country because of its immoralities and everything else. Never forget, judgment always begins with the household of God.
That means if this nation is being judged, and I think you got a pretty good case for that, it starts with the church, that we judge ourselves. What adjustments do we need to make? What repenting do we need to make? What is it that God wants to do in the churches? And I would like to suggest to you, it could be that he is looking to purify. Is he looking to glean different churches? Yeah, we're seeing that happening. Mercifully, many of them are shutting down. And I got to tell you, that ain't necessarily a bad thing.
I am astounded at the lack of the fear of the Lord.
That is also an interesting comment in the context of the biggest threat to the church, a lack of fear of the Lord. What does that have to do with unconverted and unbiblical pastors? They're unbiblical because they don't have a fear of the Lord. I would also like to suggest to you that when you see a high-profile tumble, some preacher that maybe you liked who just biffs it and is disqualified, my opinion, it's almost certain it is because if you checked the tank marked fear of the Lord, it's running on empty or awfully close. And that is, according to Paul Washer, the biggest threat to the church in America. So, what was your answer? And who was right? Paul Washer, we'll see if he can continue to make his case next on Wretched Radio. Another amazing story from Eastern Europe, Tomorrow Clubs.
One of the kids that came, I was a 12-year-old girl, you know, her parents were both alcoholics. The leader said, well, you know, why don't you invite your mother to come? She started coming, and at first it was really just to get gifts for her younger kids who had been taken away from her. But, you know, she'd come, and she'd hear little pieces of the gospel, and she'd feel the love of the leaders that were there. She started drinking a little bit less and started coming to the church, and then the church started trying to help them, and they'd go to visit the home, and the father, I mean, he was just a hopeless alcoholic who really couldn't even leave the house. Believe it or not, even the father stopped drinking, and now the whole family has come to the Lord. Now this family operates the Tomorrow Club.
If you'd like to hear more stories like that, and who of us wouldn't, please support your own Tomorrow Club. $30 a month, 30 disciples in Eastern Europe. Visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Do you sometimes feel like your personal prayer time is lacking? Well, honestly, you're not alone. It's something that happens to all of us, probably more often than we care to admit. But if you want to transform and bring richness to your devotion times, then take a look at Face to Face by Dr. Kenneth Boa. Dr. Boa's personalized adaptations of Scripture turns the Bible, God's Word, into prayers that will bring you face to face and heart to heart with God. By connecting Bible reading with personal prayer, you'll learn to approach both in a new way and rediscover the Bible as your most treasured prayer book. We believe in this book's ability to guide you into prayers that are faith-filled and powerful so much that we've added it to the Wretched Store. So grab your copy of Face to Face, Praying the Scriptures for Intimate Worship by Dr. Kenneth Boa by visiting wretched.org/pray and watch your prayer life be enriched. That's wretched.org/pray.
Typical radio commercials will have one big shebang, the opening line. Do we have your attention now? This particular commercial has 8. Have we got your attention now? MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing, will save the average family $500 per month. Second, MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to typical health insurance. Double, that's times 2 if you weren't homeschooled. A massive network of providers to choose from. MediShare is the most trusted name in healthcare sharing. They've been around for 25 years. $4 billion in healthcare bills have been shared. If you call them now, you will save on the joining fee. They're going to erase it. That's another $170. This is a limited time offer, which means make it snappy. Call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE. Did I mention 844-34-BIBLE to get your MediShare quote in under 2 minutes?
Books of the Bible. The gospel is present throughout all of Scripture, beginning with the book of Genesis. Immediately after the fall, God promises a Messiah who will crush the head of the serpent. Even in the Garden of Eden, God was preparing the means of our salvation through Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now the announcement nobody has been waiting for. This is Wretched Radio. Very exciting day. We have an announcement. There's going to be a new host here at Wretched Radio. Jimmy, would you like to guess who it is?
Me.
Would you like to guess again who it is? That's right. Bill Maher. Going to be the new...
No.
Yeah, no, but... Got to tell you something. You and I should be encouraged that Bill Maher is actually thinking quite clearly, at least on one particular issue. And I was listening to a current, rather recent monologue of his, and I went, wow, he's talking like one of us. He's not. He's a classic liberal. I think that that's an important adjective to put in front of liberal, because a classic liberal is a whole lot different than a liberal today. A liberal, for most folks, is like, hello, Bernie Sanders. Nice to see ya. Bill Maher is classic. And in that, he believes that there are at least some societal norms, some decorum, and at least a groping for some common sense. And I think that Bill Maher should actually brace yourself for this, encourage us today. Isn't it true that we observe that liberals are not desirous of good news? They seem to eschew it. Do you remember when Rand Paul was interviewing Tony Fauci? There was actually some good news in the pandemic, and Rand Paul kept saying, well, aren't you glad? Isn't this good news? Why don't you share some good news? If this is the case, why not get it out there and enjoy the good news for a second? Couldn't do it. And I kind of wonder if that isn't true for all of us. These days, we're bathed in bad news. Something good comes along and we can dismiss it. While this isn't going to change our culture, what Bill Maher said was heard by millions of people. His YouTube views get the millions of views. And so the monologue that you're about to hear from our new host, Bill Maher, there's a sentence I never thought I'd utter even in jest. He is going to talk about the current cancel culture, and perhaps even more important than that, he actually seems to at least have a modicum of a grasp on history. In that, different eras have different attitudes, and just because somebody today exhibited an attitude from back then that today isn't considered cool, what do? We cancel them.
And finally, new rule, please don't make the Olympics into the Oscars. Oh, what's that? They did already? You know, back in April when the Oscars aired, I commented in this space that the theme of that evening was, we dare you to be entertained. Lest your mind waver for a few hours from thinking about the sad things and bad people in the world. Well, thank God we found some of those bad people in the Olympics now, and not a moment too soon. The director of... No, that was sarcasm. The director of the opening ceremony was fired hours before the event because they found out there was a Holocaust joke in a comedy routine he did decades ago. Well, you know, context is everything.
What?
Obviously, it didn't strike people as beyond the pale at the time.
Wow. Wow. Understanding that at different eras, when the majority of folks would have just gone, ho-hum, it's just a joke, or it's not racist, it's just a joke, we look back today and go, oh, no, 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 because our current sensibilities inform us that anything that looks like this is actually that. And that didn't always used to be the case. Bill Maher actually gets that?
Young people have to stop flattering themselves that they're Nostradamus and would have foreseen, had they been around then, everything that's unacceptable now.
That's a great line. And here's what's interesting. If this current trend of as we evolve as a culture continues, then in, what, 20 years? They're going to be able to go back to your yearbook and find something that cancels you.
And for further context, Mel Brooks wrote one of the most successful musicals of all time around the song Springtime for Hitler. Why do we allow the people who just want to always win? Days before that firing, the opening ceremony's musical director was also forced out because someone dug up an interview with him from 1994 where he admitted to bullying classmates as a child.
What? Bullying now, it's always been bad. When has bullying been good? Our salutatorian is the kid who used to give everybody a black eye. Would you please welcome? Everybody's bullying is bad. Well, today, it's kind of become a cause celeb. And now, of course, if anybody ever did anything remotely mean to anybody, you gotta cancel them.
Child. As a child. Remember when your teacher used to try and scare you by saying, this is going to go on your permanent record? Yeah. No longer an empty threat now. And the creative director of the entire shebang of the whole
get ready
got can because he once made a fat joke in a private conversation. This is called a purge. It's a mentality that belongs in Stalin's Russia.
Hello! And it's coming from the left wing of American society. Whew. Okay, so here's the good news. Not every liberal is Stalinesque. They're not desiring to become Russia. At least, right now, Bill Maher is speaking with some common sense on the subject. That should be a little bit encouraging, shouldn't it?
How bad does this atmosphere we are living in have to get before the people who say cancel culture is overblown admit that is in fact an insanity that is swallowing up the world?
Wow! Wow! So in other words, people who say, oh, it's all overblown about the cancel culture. No, 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 it's insanity. He just ratcheted that up a notch, and indeed it is. A society can't function. And his somewhat rhetorical question about when is this going to end, that raises a question for the Christian, doesn't it?
It's not a conservative position, my friends. My politics have not changed, but I am reacting to politics that have. And this is yet another example of how the woke invert the very thing that used to make liberals liberals. Snitches and that's not being liberal. The Associated Press is a real news organization, yeah? So why am I reading this headline? Olympic surfing exposes whitewashed Native Hawaiian roots. Yeah, the Olympics added surfing this year. Good, surfers deserve to be recognized as athletes. I'm sorry. What I meant to say is, no, that's cultural appropriation. The AP says that for Hawaiians, probably all two of them, including surfing in the Olympics, is an extension of the racial indignity seared into the history of the game and their homeland when white outsiders took over their spiritual art form.
Now, if you want a better example of Romans 1, I don't think you're going to... That's just... What? False proposition built on another false proposition to ultimately come up with a conclusion that is, in Bill Maher's words, insane.
Or just people having fun in the ocean. I must say, of all the violations of the woke penal code, cultural appropriation just might be the dumbest of all. First of all, there are 25,000 islands in the Pacific. How do we know a Hawaiian was the first to stand on a board in the water?
And on he goes, regaling against cultural appropriation. because it doesn't help us to become better. It means that we no longer get to enjoy something different, interesting, and good from another culture. We won't share it, and you can't borrow it. It's ours. Stay away. Bill Maher is getting that. But let us, besides enjoying a moment when a liberal is speaking clear-headedly, let's answer his rhetorical question. When does this come to an end? I know how my flesh answers that question. That's it. I'm not going to put up with this, and I'm going to start doing stuff. Now, please note, if you wish to get involved politically, legislatively, that's swell. But I fear that in this frustrating season that we're living in, we might be tempted to forget how we are to respond, no matter how bonkers the culture gets, and it's getting pretty dingy out there. We are not commanded to become revolutionaries, to overthrow, to tear down institutions, or even statues for that, even bad statues. We're not called to pull down. We are called to preach the gospel, because what you just heard is so foolish, Romans 1 word, that even Bill Maher understands this is insanity, and he's not a regenerated man with the mind of Christ. That is dingy. And if you and I aren't careful, we're going to get annoyed, we're going to be agitated, and we are going to want to fight. Christians aren't called to fight. Yes, you can defend yourself and your family. But we are not Christian soldiers marching off to a physical war. Not revolutionaries. We put on the gospel of peace. And we share good news so that God can regenerate their hearts so that their minds can start to think more like Bill Maher's. I'm sorry, that was not the right ending to that. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.